in today's first reading, which is not specially chosen for the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, just happens to be on Saturday. But in this first reading, St. Paul says, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So we're not to look at anyone just according to the flesh. We're not to look at anyone just on the surface. There's much more once we get to the level at which God is transforming us. And once we look beyond the surface, wow, there's a lot more to discover, isn't there? Certainly we find this in the heart of Mary. We have to look beyond what Mary looks like according to the flesh. According to the flesh, she's just an ordinary provincial housewife. There's nothing particularly striking about her. But once we look into her heart, we say, oh, here's a new creation. Let me give you an example or a little story that might help get us past the surface. I was out walking, as I often am in the mornings, and I walk by these houses all the time. I mean, I'm constantly doing the same thing. Well, anyway, today, as I walked by one of the houses in the neighborhood, a man came out carrying a big cylinder. It's about this thing, about 3 feet high, and about this, and kind of a dark green thing with a bunch of tubes. I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe something to do with air conditioning or something, and he plunked it down on the street, and he started tinkering with it, and I walked by. But as I passed him again, I could see him really working on this cylinder. Then he started spraying it with a hose, and it turned out that dark green color was just dirt, sludge. So the third time I walked by the man, I said, "Ano yan? Sabi niya, filter po, para sa swimming pool." I said, "Oh, a swimming pool." I don't know how many times I've passed that house. I never knew there was a swimming pool inside that property. A big swimming pool with a big filter. The point being, what we see on the surface is nothing by comparison to what's on the inside. So you pass an ordinary looking house, who knows what's inside? Pass an ordinary looking person, who knows what's in that person's heart? Look at Mary, who knows what's inside? All week I have been pondering this idea of what's inside, I suppose because we had our Triduum in preparation for the Feasts of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, and just talking about hearts draws us to the inner level of life. We can't get anything out of these feast days if we can't get past the surface of those images. If we don't know what a heart represents, well, these feasts won't mean anything to us. We have to get inside. What does a heart represent? Ask anybody and they'll say, well, a heart is a symbol of love, which is true, of course. And we reflected on that yesterday. The heart of Jesus is the love of God poured out to us. If we understand what a heart is, we can start to grasp who God is. As if we start to encounter love, we encounter God. And it even said that in yesterday's reading, God is love. Whoever knows love knows God. God is in him and he is in God. I don't know why, I was trying to do some exploration for yesterday's feast day. I know people were scandalized. Some people didn't like that I compared the heart of Jesus to Jollibee. They thought that was not appropriate. But, you know, what I'm trying to do, of course, is read the language of symbols. Remember what Pope Francis told us in that document we studied. The problem with modern times is that people don't read symbols. They can't read symbolically anymore. So the language of the liturgy is obscure to them. People, how can you enter into the liturgy if you can't read symbols, if you can't read symbolic language? Anyway, I don't think Jesus was offended by my mention of Jollibee. Remember what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. How can he say such a thing? Well, he's using symbolic language. Anyway, we're in this very symbolic stage of the liturgical year where we're focusing on the hearts of Jesus and Mary. I looked up the passage. Yesterday's gospel was where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavily burdened, and I will refresh you. Come to me, for I am meek and humble of heart." Remember that line. I'm meek and humble of heart. And that word heart, I think, is what one of the reasons why that gospel passage is chosen for the Feast of the Sacred Heart, because Jesus mentions his heart. He's humble of heart. So I looked it up in my Tagalog Bible. Ako'y maamo at mababang loob. I was looking for the word puso. I got mababang loob. I said, loob? Why do I keep running into this loob? And loob is everywhere in Tagalog. The other day I was given some instant coffee sachets, and I always try to read the little Tagalog advertising on these different things so I can get more familiar with the language. It used to always say, astig di mapait. So I can kind of get it. Mapait, right? Hindi mapait. Not bitter. No. That's because they put so much sugar in it. That's why hindi mapait. Anyway, now they changed it. They put a big streamer on the top of the sachet. Ang kape para buhay ang loob mo. I saw that. I said, oh, here's loob again. And I had to ask my friend, I said, what is this? I know ang kape is clearly coffee, but, and I know buhay, and I know buhay. I know, which is it, buhay or buhay? So I was told it's buhay. Buhay ang loob mo. So this is the coffee that will give life to your heart. This coffee will enliven your heart. So there's loob again, which can be translated as heart, but it's not puso. Well, I'm in over my head here. I know that, but this word loob is quite rich, and I have a book here, which I got in the seminary, Loob, it's called, The Filipino Within. You know this book? Written by one of my professors in the seminary, Father Miranda. They call him Father Johnny. He's a moral theologian. Anyway, this book, Loob, A Preliminary Investigation into a Pre-Theological Moral Anthropology. That's a mouthful. I remember trying to read this book when I was in the seminary, and I just couldn't. I just couldn't get anywhere. Look at the very first paragraph, very first page. Loob is a Filipino term rich in many meanings as found in its various cognates and derivatives. Consider, for example, these terms. Looban, kalooban, pagloloob, panloloob, pinaglolooban, pinagkaloob, kalooban, looban, kaloob, loobin, pagbabalik loob, kusang loob, kapalagyang loob, lamang loob, kabutihang loob, kasama ang loob, utang na loob. I said, oh, I finally got the one I recognize, utang na loob. I know kalooban also, but I mean, there's a lot of, so his whole point here is, this is not a word that you can just translate. It has to be described. Now, I, like I said, I'm over my head, and I'm not going to go on with that because I can't. I remember being a little bit encouraged, again, when I was in the seminary, one of my other professors, one of the scripture scholars, who was an expert in languages, he taught us Greek and Hebrew, and he said, oh, I read Father Johnny's book. I can't understand it. I was really surprised because he's a Filipino priest, and he's a scholar, and he's a language expert. And then he said, well, I'm Visayan. So he said, because he's not Tagalog, he can't understand Father Miranda's book on loob. But my point here, in getting into this, is we have to get to the inner level. See, the heart, now we're talking about the Immaculate Heart, is a symbol of love, but it's also a symbol of the whole inner life. We didn't talk about this so much with Jesus because how can we can't capture the inner life of God. It's everything, and love is everything, and that Sacred Heart is just massive. When we get to the heart of Mary, we see something similar, but we're drawn into Mary as a recipient of all that God offers. we look into Mary's heart, and first of all, it's immaculate. It's beautiful. Doesn't need a filter. Doesn't need to be cleaned. It's beautiful. It's pure. It's transparent, and it's completely receptive to grace. So we're not talking about the physical organ of the heart, of course, but there's something to it, because the heart inside the body is deep inside, and it's generating life for the whole body. Well, we go into the heart of Mary, and we find this place, not only of love, but also of pondering, of treasuring, of welcoming, even things that are not understandable. And this is what we see in today's gospel. This is the strange event when Jesus stayed behind when he was 12 years old. And Mary and Joseph didn't know why he did that. And she even said, why did you do this? Now, perhaps Mary and Joseph, because they were responsible to raise this son, and they, as every good parent does, you take care of your children, you protect them, and you keep them on the right track. And so when they do something that you don't expect, well, you say, well, what happened? But it's an example of evaluating him according to the flesh, not according to the new creation. This is where I started this passage from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We don't look on anyone according to the flesh. We don't look on anyone just according to the surface or just according to the natural appearances. This child, this 12-year-old boy, is not just a 12-year-old boy. He belongs in the house of the Father. So Jesus says, well, why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? And it says they did not understand what he said to them. But this is where Mary's heart, I'm sure Joseph did the same thing, but we're focusing on Mary now. Mary's heart is beautiful because she takes that in. She takes in what Jesus says. He has to be in his Father's house. She didn't understand it, but she took it in anyway. She pondered it, and this is what it says. Mary, his mother, kept all these things in her heart. So when we look into the heart of Mary, which is what we're doing on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, what do we find there? Not only Mary's experience and Mary's love and Mary's own personal concerns, we find her son. We find her son. And I think this is true of every mother. If you look into the heart of a mother, you find her children. If you look into the womb of a mother, you find the unborn child. If you look into the heart of Mary, you find Jesus. If you look into the heart of the church, you find Jesus. If you want to understand this, just look at the icon. I've said this many, many times, but the icon of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life is the heart of Mary. It's the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but it's transparent. And as you look inside, what do you find? Jesus, the heart of Jesus, the Eucharist, and all the mysteries of Jesus' life are inside there. That's what we're celebrating today. It's not separate from what we celebrated yesterday. It's the shrine of what we celebrated yesterday. It's the recipient of everything we celebrated yesterday. So if we can get past the surface, you know, we're not talking about a Valentine's Day card. We're talking about the profound inner life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and so profound that she welcomes and contains and ponders everything that God has for us. That's why she becomes the spiritual mother of everyone who is a disciple of her son. And everything her son gave for us comes through her heart. Okay? So it's not according to the level of the flesh. This is the level of the heart. This is the level at which people are most themselves, most real, most authentic. When someone speaks from the heart, you know that that's what that person really believes. Well, Mary always speaks from the heart. And she always says, Jesus. She always says, do whatever he tells you.